Today's episode of Fight Night Picks is brought to you by Spretzebox. Head on over to their website. It's spretzebox.com and use the promo code FNP for 10% off your first order. They've got great style boxes. There's ties, there's watches. It could be anything. There's a special theme for every month. And if you use that promo code FNP, you can save 10% off your first box. And that's spretzebox.com. Let's get into the episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, recorded in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada, it's time for the Fight Night Picks podcast with your host, Craig Allen.
It's February 7th, a Thursday, and we've got a great episode of Fight Night Picks. Back to the audio podcast, Bellator Newcastle UFC 234 preview. Like we used to, let's get into it. All right, and welcome to another episode of Fight Night Picks. I'm your host, Craig Allen. You can find me, as always, on Twitter and Instagram, at Craig Allen FNP. And joining me today on the audio version of the podcast,
I'm Matt Allen, and you probably recognize you from places like, well, this podcast.
We've got a lot of MMA coming up in February. You've got four different Bellator cards. You've got three different UFC cards.
What's going on?
Packed lineup. You're going to be able to find us on Sports Booth on Saturday night. We're going to do back-to-back live event companions just for the main cards. Bellator Newcastle, UFC 234. You've got five fights for the UFC. Only four for Bellator, but they're really, really good ones. So another big thing, I mean, you talk about poor, you know, quality of information. A lot of people out there scratching their heads. Where can I find Bellator? You can find it if you go onto the Bellator website or on their app. Typically, it's on DAZN, it's on Paramount, but where this one's not a numbered event, you're going to be able to find it there. I'm going to have a link below in the description. And if you're looking for more information, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, at Craig Allen FNP. You can find Matt on Twitter, at Matt Allen FNP. We've got Spretzebox on board. We've got Beaver Buzz on the hat. Great stuff. Looking forward to a busy weekend. And as you can see up there, if you're following along with the video version of the show, you can see the cards. We're going to be referencing them throughout. If you're listening to the audio portion, we'll talk about them. We've got the ticker below. This is pretty much commonplace with Fight Night Picks. This is what you can expect on Saturday night if you're paying attention. And like I said before on the previous screen that we were on, Sports Booth. We're live on Sports Booth. We're doing fight companions there. It's near real time. It's interactive. Matt, the guy who runs Sports Booth, will have the different fight cards. He's going to try and have those. There's a chat. There's polls. There's all sorts of great stuff. So you can follow us on there. There's no delay like there is on YouTube. And it's been the cat's ass since we've been there.
Yes, yeah, worked really well so far. We've had a really good time.
100%. So big cards this weekend. Well, UFC 234, Bellator Newcastle. I'm really looking forward to Bellator Newcastle. And the reason being, as I bring it up, that's your main card. So we got a four-fight main card. You got Terry Brazier taking on Chris Bungard. You got Fabian Edwards taking on Lee Chadwick. Aaron Chalmers, Corey Browning, Patricky Pitbull taking on Ryan Scope. And to me, it's really big because what Bellator has been able to do, sign a lot of UK and European talent. We're going to go over it a little bit more. There's also a big, big prelim fight before this main card. It's kind of weird that they didn't go with five-fight main card, but you got former champs in that fight. We will go over that, and I'll scroll back over to UFC 234. And realistically, UFC 234, it's a fight night card with a title
really
fight at the top.
With a really good main and co-main, and that's about it.
Exactly. And a very divisive question that I've asked, all over the internet, and I want to get your thoughts on it, because this is a typical Fight Night Picks question. It's good that we can get out of the way on Thursday. It's a C-. Matt's giving the card a C-. Why?
It's, okay, if you look at it without including that main and co-main event, it's an F, if that. I mean, it's not a good card whatsoever. It's not really worth the money, unless you're looking forward to the main event. Like, I'm a really big Robert Whitaker. I like Whitaker and Gaslam, like, they're two of my favorite fighters, and they're both really exciting to watch. That would be worth paying the money for just there. And the co-main event's going to be interesting, because it's one of those things, like, is Israel Adesanya the next big thing? Is he going to beat Anderson Silva? Probably. But Anderson Silva's like, there's this weird mystique about him. Even to this day, I know he's not the same as he used to be, but he's still like, I don't know, he's tricky as an old kind of veteran. So it's going to be interesting no matter what. But other than that, the card's not that great.
I woke up to a firestorm in my mentions when I woke up this morning. And Donnie Rocket, shout out to you. You were defending your stance on Adesanya like a lot of people are. I'm picking Adesanya to win this fight. If you look at the odds, and I'll pull them up here, I mean, it's overwhelming Adesanya. It's like it's more than a 5-1. It's almost a 6-1 on certain sites. And yeah, I've got Adesanya. I mean, undefeated. He's looked good in every UFC fight, if not great. I mean, even in the Vettori fight, he still had bright spots.
Yeah, exactly. And I just think that Israel Adesanya is the real deal. He's the next big thing. And I think even if he wins this, he's probably getting a title shot, and that's unfortunate for Jacare. I just feel like his kind of star puts him ahead of Jacare. And especially with the win over Anderson, there's a lot more eyes on that. But yeah, he's definitely, I shouldn't say definitely, there's a very, very good chance Israel Adesanya is going to run away with this fight. It's just one of those cases of, does Anderson still have anything left?
And the big question we can get out of the way here, Adesanya and Silva. Silva, for some reason, and I argued with Ty, I argued with all sorts of people, by the time that UFC 234 comes up, is Anderson Silva going to have a number next to his name? He yeah. does. He was ranked 14th last week. I know that for sure. He's 15th now. He's 1-4 in his last five. He hasn't fought in 2 years. It's complete horseshit.
I don't think
that's
so.
In the rankings. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Yes, it does.
I mean,
he beat Derek Brunson two years ago.
Yeah, but a former champ, and it's been the longest of layoffs. It doesn't make any sense.
Of course it does. Name one unranked guy who could beat Anderson Silva right now. He would beat, Anderson Silva would beat Elias Theodoro, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, exactly. Elias is ranked, what, 10th? He already beat Derek Brunson, who's ranked 8th. I don't think that there's this big outrage that you just got so angry about over the fact that Anderson's in the rankings.
The reason why he's in the rankings is so you can have that number next to his name.
It's
so you
Anderson,
can sell
though. You don't
fight.
Need the number.
It's ridiculous the way that it's set up. I mean, you're not going to have a guy who's ranked and primed for a title shot, and then a guy who's unranked. I mean, you can sell the mystique for
sure.
He's
not a guy, though. You're saying it like he's just this random guy. They threw a number next to his name because he's fighting Israel Adesanya. Anderson Silva is the greatest fighter of all time.
He is a 42-year-old cheater.
It doesn't matter, Craig. He's a 42-year-old who can do things that no one else can, still to this day. He fought Michael Bisping 2 years ago, looked phenomenal.
Yeah,
he fought Derek Brunson and beat him 2 years ago.
I think it's ridiculous that Silva has a number.
You're
next to his
too fired
name.
Up,
just based
though,
on
make any sense
that
to get mad
prior
at.
Record. It's just silly the way but that it is. However,
you're looking that prior
however,
record goes back like 6 years.
Time out.
Yes.
So you've got Adesanya, you've got Silva. Uh-huh. The conversation is, and Anderson Silva's come out and said it, and Dana White's never denied it. Apparently, if Anderson Silva wins, he gets a title shot.
And
how upset does the middleweight division become if Anderson Silva gets a title shot?
Here's the thing. He's not going to win, so it doesn't matter. The UFC told him that he would take this fight against it. Israel Adesanya said it himself. The UFC honey-dicked Anderson Silva to fight him because they want this whole thing of like a young Anderson to fight the old Anderson, and they want Israel Adesanya to be their next star who is... Anderson wouldn't really talk. He was a big star, but he was one of these guys like he didn't really need to talk. It was just interesting how good he was.
Anderson Silva in the lead up to this fight, and you can already kind of gauge my
Anderson
Silva
rating.
I don't like him because he cheated. I don't like cheaters in sports. If there's rules, follow them. I'm pretty cut and dry.
Doesn't matter.
I didn't like him beforehand. Either way, Anderson Silva, the one thing I will say that's positive about him, you know, the mystique. It's like the mystique that goes along with Fedor. And Fedor, you know, he doesn't speak English, but he understands everything. Anderson Silva is kind of that way.
But Anderson Silva has the funniest voice in the world, though.
Where he would pretty much only speak Portuguese. He didn't really speak a whole lot of English. He was personable, but now he's doing all sorts of interviews. He's been really personable, really happy-go-lucky, speaking English a lot, too, which is great. But I just, yeah, it's a silly matchup, and I do think that Adesanya runs away with it.
I don't even think it's a silly matchup, though, because Anderson needs a fight, okay? He wants to come back, he wants a fight. The most winnable fight for Anderson Silva is a guy who you know is not going to take him down. Israel Adesanya won't be able to take Silva down, and if he does, let's be honest, Silva's way better on the ground than Adesanya.
And
is.
That was kind of the focus of the open workouts with Silva, to see him working on his ground game, seeing him, you know...
Not even work, he's a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
I know, but
legit.
In an opponent's guard, like if he were able to get Adesanya down... Yeah. I'm sure, and that's, you know, that dominated the mentions on Twitter, all the comments I've seen about it. If Silva's going to win, it's going to be on the ground. I agree to an extent. I mean, we all know how good Silva's top game is, and, you know, we know what he can do for sure, even on his back, like you said. And then if we move into the main event, you sent me a text earlier on today. You're kind of torn on it. I'm kind of torn on it, too. I mean, if we look at the odds right now, Whitaker's more than a 2-1, almost a 2.5 favorite to Gastelum. But where Gastelum has, you know, lost some more fights maybe recently, he's always improving. He's always fighting. It seems like he does fight quite a bit for top contender. And, you know, for you to send me that text, I can definitely see Kelvin Gastelum winning this fight.
I can't.
There's opportunities.
And again, like, I'm not a journalist, so I can say these kinds of things. I'm a really big fan of both guys. Like, Robert Whittaker, you can't dislike him. He's, like, he's extremely violent among fighters. Like, he's kind of unique in that. If you watch Robert Whittaker fight, someone's probably going to sleep, or they're going to get close to it. He only has fun fights. They're all fight of the night. They're all performance of the night. He can do pretty much everything. He's got good jiu-jitsu, amazing takedown defense, kicks like a mule, and he moves really weird, too. Like, he's got a very unique style of fighting. Kelvin Gastelum's hands are ridiculously fast. And really, he doesn't throw a lot of kicks like Whittaker does. Whittaker throws that body kick. He throws kind of high kicks from all different angles. But Kelvin Gastelum's really good at just boxing. Just move out of range, counter, kind of spring back, and then move forward.
Now, we saw, and if you look at Robert Whittaker's overall takedown defense numbers in the UFC, 84.13% takedown defense.
And that's with
defense.
Fighting Joel Romero and twice. Yoel twice.
Exactly. So that's
absurd.
Let's say it's perfect. It's pretty much almost perfect. Like, forget about the welterweight days. In middleweight, he's been great. And he's taken on a guy in Gastelum that I just don't see the fight going to the ground, really.
If it does, though,
I'd favor Gastelum more likely. But
if you look, like, Jacare pretty much had Whittaker's back, and Whittaker just kind of grabbed him, get out of here. Like,
exactly.
There was nothing for him.
And, I mean, if we look at the striking numbers, Whittaker landing, you know, more significant strikes per minute, it's almost one per minute more. Accuracy about the same. Strikes absorbed a little bit less from Gastelum, but their defense is about the same. So they're very, very well matched. As far as height, I mean, typically Kelvin Gastelum's normally the shorter fighter. I believe he's about, 3 inches shorter and an inch or 2 inches less of reach. I'd like to see, the leg reach numbers 4 inches. And we've seen Whittaker do that before, throwing front kicks to the body, different kicks to try and keep distance.
And he aims at your hip. He doesn't actually aim at your body all the time. So it just pushes your whole body back. So let's say Kelvin's southpaw, and he throws the right hook, left straight. That's all pretty much Kelvin Gastelum throws. Yep. He just spams it. It's cool to watch. I'm making it sound like Kelvin Gastelum's way more boring than he is, but he's really fun to watch. So there's that right hook, left straight. And if Whittaker could just time it so that he keeps on throwing that teep kick to the hip every single time Gastelum tries to dart in, that's going to kind of take its toll on him. It's going to screw up his timing, too.
Exactly. And, I mean, if you look back at that Gastelum fight against Bisping, you got the hard punch and
it's
a knockout.
It's different, because Bisping had fought 3
exactly.
weeks before.
Exactly. And, so. You know, he said, and you hear this, and it was interesting to hear it on the MMA Hour this week. If you listen to it with Trevor Whitman, it was one of those things where he talked about, like, Nate Marquardt. And closer to the end of Nate Marquardt's career.
He lit him on fire.
Exactly. But he said, you know, best training sessions. He was not knocking guys out in the gym, but he looked great in the gym. And then he was having issues come fight day. I mean, it just wasn't there anymore. And you talk about Bisping. I mean, a guy who was champ. He got the win over Dan Henderson. I know how much he means to you, but still. And then GSP. Bisping.
Oh, I was going
to
say.
And GSP fight. It wasn't good.
It was a really good fight. It was a fun fight to watch. But it wasn't like...
He had some opportunities when he was on bottom throwing the elbows.
It wasn't like Anderson Silva, Michael Bisping, though, where it was like, I'm going to walk through everything and I'm not giving up no matter what.
But he was a company man. There was an opportunity to headline the card in China.
The
and he definitely made a killing on that card. You know what? Two people might have tuned in, but still. Made a killing.
Bisping probably made $2 million.
Exactly. A lot of money. So, regardless, I'm taking Whittaker in this fight, but I
How?
Could definitely
Do you think he
see it.
Gastelum?
I don't think he will stop him. I think it could go 5 rounds. The thing with Gastelum is you have to worry maybe gases.
But that's the thing. Gastelum's weird in the effect that he's always...
In the Jacare fight, he was a fresher fighter.
But in the Jacare fight, he looked like he gassed, even though in the Tim Kennedy fight, which was similar, they both went into the third round, he looked fine cardio-wise. Like, Gastelum's weird. He always looks good, but he has different aspects of his game that he looks better at in past fights than he does in more recent
and
ones.
At middleweight, definitely a totally different guy from welterweight, and that goes for both of these guys.
But I mean, even like when Gastelum fought Chris Weidman, he had this really good head movement the whole fight, but when he fought Jacare, his head didn't move once and he ate a bunch of big shots. Like, both guys have amazing chins, as we saw in Whittaker's last fight. Like, he can take an absurd amount of punishment. And same thing with Kelvin Gastelum, but I'm just worried that Kelvin banks on his chin too much. He's one of these guys who... His hands are up, but not really. Like, he gets hit, basically. And if Whittaker hits you with the same shots that Jacare does, I mean, Whittaker's stand-up's quite a bit better, and he's a lot faster, too, so.
So, if we look on this card, I mean, you're giving it a C-. I don't think I ever actually really gave my pick. I'm going to give it... It's tough.
Can
maybe,
I say it?
Maybe a D?
Yeah.
I'll give it a D. It's not very good. It's one of those cards where they announced the co-main really early on, then they announced the main, and then they kind of said, well, you know, Australian fans bought their tickets.
Yeah.
Screwed you, and then they just threw a bunch of fights. And you know what? As negative as that sounds, there are some half-decent fights. I mean, you've got Jimmy Crute fighting on the card against Sam Alvey, and we talked about it before the show. I mean, Sam Alvey fights God love his soul.
15
I mean,
times
really.
A year.
He fights all the time. He's a real, like, I mean, looking at his picture right now, super happy-go-lucky guy. I mean, a great guy, really. Yeah, and then Jimmy Crute looked good in his last fight against Paul Craig. He's a big story out of Australia. There's all sorts of Australian fights. It's weird that Devontae Smith.
I've got Jimmy Crute in that fight by decision.
Yeah, and Dong Hyung Ma, that's the big, you know, featured prelim. It's kind of silly that you're trying to sell that because you've got a guy from the United States. And typically you will see a lot of Asian fighters on these Australian cards and Ma from South Korea. So, I mean, that's a half decent one. The Kai Kara France fight against Raulian Paiva, that's a really good fight.
Yeah, Kai Kara France is legit.
Exactly, and Paiva with a 17-1 record. Teruto Ishihara, who has great hair, by the way, saw him wearing a Hawaiian shirt this week.
And an awful fighter, and I can say that. He is not good at all. He lost to Artem Lobov.
Hyung Ho Gong is one of my favorite fighters to watch. We watched that Guido Cannonetti fight. I mean, he does a lot of things well. And I really like watching him. Lando Venata, that's another one.
Well, a lot people don't know who Marco Rosa is, though, who he's fighting. Basically, this guy's Anderson Silva's protege, so he is legit.
Salty record at
6-4. Terrible record,
but
like,
but
he's
still,
a very skilled
guy. Lando Venata, the poor guy, I mean, he's doesn't have a great UFC record.
He fights
record.
To his opponent's level.
He does. You know, a couple more fights. The Callum Potter, Jalen Turner fight, that's going to be a really good one. I mean, even though Turner is 6-4, I mean, man, he's so damn tall for 155.
He looked good in his last fight up until he got knocked out. But
exactly, and trains at Ruka Sport, so he's going to be with some of the best people in the world. You'd look at a guy with a record like that, and you wouldn't think he'd be training at a gym with RDA and
with
Chris
Walls,
Cyborg
really.
And all the very best people that you could have. And then Buren and Martinez, first fight of the night
got
at 135.
That one.
Martinez, typically a flyweight, came in on short notice to take on Andre Sukumtoth in Moncton. And wasn't able to get the win there.
Buren got knocked out with a body shot by what's his name? The guy who fought, I can't even think of his name.
Regardless.
Marlon Vera, Chito Vera.
Yeah, Chito Vera. So it's not a great card. I mean, name wise,
you could even call it a bad one.
If you're on a Saturday night, there's not going to be a lot of people going to the bars to try and pay their
it's a drinking
bucks.
Card. That's what it is. Stay at home, bring some friends over. Just drank them.
Yeah, I mean, there's the possibility for some fun fights. I mean, one of my favorite fighters to watch in the entire UFC. It's no joke. You know I'm not joking. Like,
it makes
roll
no
your
sense,
eyes.
But he's true.
Ronnie Yaya taking on Ricky Simone. I like Simone, first of all. But I love Ronnie Yaya.
Yeah,
great
Greg
fighter.
Has a poster of him, like, on the ceiling, but I don't even know.
It's always a fun fight when you look at Yaya. He's been in the UFC and UFC-related organizations forever.
He
and he's still somewhat young. Like, he's only, like, 33 years old.
He
so
he looks like he would bring you Skip the Dishes on a Thursday night.
26-9 with one no contest. Ronnie Yaya, 77% of those fights ending by submission.
He's like Ryan Hall. He doesn't have very good striking. His wrestling's not great. But if the fight goes to the ground, he's probably going to rip off your leg. Or your arm or something.
Exactly. So it should be half decent. That's the second half of what we're going to be doing on the weekend. So I'm going to head back over to our view. This is pretty much what you can expect on Sports Booth if you're watching along with this. If you're watching or listening on the podcast, just believe us and check it out.
Yeah.
Sports Booth, it's the a cat's ass, and it's been a lot of fun being on here.
And Craig uses that term 7 times in our live
so,
stream, so it is.
Our next card, and realistically, it's our first card, and the main card starts early. It starts really early because it's a Newcastle card. Starts at 5 p.m. Eastern. That's when we're going to go live. There's 4 fights on the main card. Brazier Bungard, it's going to be a great one. Terry Brazier came on Fight Night Picks earlier on this summer, right after Bellator made that big signing, 24 UK and Europe-based fighters. Brazier's out of the UK, former Bama lightweight and welterweight champ. He said he wants to make a home 155. I will replay that interview when we do the May card fight companion. So he's coming off a win over Reese McKee, former lightweight champ. And Chris Bungard, man, I mean, 13-4, a decent record, a true Scot, a guy who he's kind of bounced around between organizations. I mean, he fought for
one fight deals.
He fought for ACB at one point. You see that every now and again. But one fight that's after, actually, let's go with the one before that. So Nathan Grayson, Cal Elnor. Elnor's a big deal. Grayson, and this is interesting, there's 2 fighters on this Bellator card who are joining Bellator after being Cage Warriors champs and missing weight, and now they're with Bellator. So Nathan Grayson,
good look.
He was a flyweight champ, and he weighed in for Cage Warriors 99. He's supposed to make his first title defense. Weighed in over, and then they stripped him of the belt, and now he's with Bellator. And then if we move up, I mean, that's going to be a great fight at 135. So if you can catch
the prelims,
you're
really selling it.
They're on the app. I Grayson's a good fighter. Elnor's a really big deal over in the UK. But Lee Chadwick, Fabian Edwards, I'll talk about Lee Chadwick. If you can tell us just a little bit about Fabian Edwards. So Lee Chadwick.
You guys might know who his brother is.
Former Cage Warriors middleweight champ Chadwick. The last time he went to fight, weighed in overweight. They found a very, very late notice replacement for that fight. And the fight went on, but they stripped him of the belt. And then it was basically for the vacant belt is what they did for the fight. And Fabian Edwards is a guy who's been not necessarily running his mouth, but similar to a guy in the next fight. Really just selling his move over to Bellator. And he's been doing a good job on his own. He's got a win over Kent Kopinen, who beat Alessio Sicara in... it was Bellator, what, 211 back in Italy, exactly. But undefeated, amateur record, and he
had a lot of amateur fights, too.
Yeah, he would have been 10-0 as an amateur, and he's 5-0 as a pro. And, I mean...
He is Leon Edwards' brother, right?
He is Leon Edwards' brother. Fights at 185, and, you know, just super, super dynamic, a really good striker. I have seen some of his Bama fights. If we go back through, we look at it, I mean, first round flying knee finish, second round rear naked, first round rear naked, first round armbar, first round body kick. So, yeah, he can
finish. He's very good at everything, and he's going to win this fight.
He's very good at everything, but it's a damn tough test for him to come into Bellator, taking on a former champion, Chadwick. And it's funny, because it's Bama versus Cage Warriors Bellator.
And Cage Warriors would usually get the better of that.
But yeah, they usually would.
They would, but Fabian Edwards is the real deal. If you've seen any of his last fights, I mean, like Craig said, he's a stoppage machine. He can beat you on the feet. He can beat you on the ground. He's a really well-rounded martial artist.
And the thing that I like about him, he's all of a sudden become a really big company guy. He's cut promos with Bellator. Like before it was announced that he was going to have a fight, he showed up on the broadcast and went, "That's Fabian Edwards." I thought I read something that they signed him a couple days before, and then it blew up. Okay, they signed Fabian Edwards. It's a big deal, but Aaron Chalmers, a guy who, this was weird. So he fought for Bama. He fought a Bellator 200. They made a big deal about it.
He did well.
He did well. He had, what was it, a first-round guillotine.
Yeah, and he got hit with like an
illegal knee. He knocked the guy down, and then when he got up, he got him in the guillotine. And they made a big deal about it, and Chalmers was going to be a big deal because he was off the Jersey Shore.
He's got like 6 million Instagram followers.
When he was with Bama, there was an episode of the Jersey Shore that you could watch, and like they went to his fight, and it was a really big deal. It's kind of cool. I mean, it's not like Mike the Situation or DJ Paulie.
Yeah, I was going to say, if anyone doesn't know what Jersey Shore is, it's basically just like the European Jersey Shore.
So anyway, Aaron Chalmers, he joined. They had the cast of the Jersey Shore out there for Bellator 200. He got the win. It was a big deal. And then there was a huge contract dispute because he wasn't actually formally released from Bama. So it was awkward. Then they announced, okay, he signed with Bellator. It's a big deal. He was already there. So I thought that was kind of weird. But he's 4-0 taking on Corey Browning. Most people are going to look at Corey Browning's record and go, he's 4-2. Like, he sucks. And yeah, I would have thought that before his last fight. He beat Baby Slice.
Exactly. The son of who some might know as Kimbo Slice.
And Baby Slice trains at the training lab. So you got Aaron Pico, AJ McKee. Really, really good fighters from 170 down, and he was looking really good, kind of transitioning between weight classes. His fight before that, he knocked the guy down, and instead of just jumping in and running in and blitzing and finishing, he went for the submission. I thought, geez, he's learning. He's really getting it. And in the fight against Corey Browning, Baby Slice went in there.
He took all that knowledge, and he threw it away.
Blew the doors off in the first round, and then come time for the second round, it was like, you know, Corey Browning was fighting a big pillow.
Yeah, it really was. Corey Browning ran away with that fight. He did. Looked really good in it, too.
Yeah, he got the finish in the second round. He's a BJJ black belt, trains with his dad. Like, he's one of those guys that you might want to keep your eye on. It's not a great record at 4-2, but if he's able to beat Aaron Chalmers at home, that's another big feather in his cap. I mean, Baby Slice and Aaron Chalmers.
Prime
for a title shot at 155. But the next fight at 155 is actually really good. One guy that you're super high on. And another guy who's a former champ from some different organizations, of Ryan Scope. Ryan Scope, a Bama champ, beat Mikel LeBoot, who is a guy that I really recognize.
By split decision.
From the European scene. Because if I'm not mistaken, I'm bringing this up. Yeah, he had a couple of fights here recently. 3 fights in M1. So that's where people might recognize him from. He was a former Bama lightweight champ in that. And he's taking on Patricky Pitbull. Now, Matt, what can you tell me about Patricky Pitbull?
Here's a fun fact, guys. Patricky Pitbull's going to knock Ryan Scope's head off his shoulders. Patricky Pitbull's one of the best lightweights in the world, whether people realize it or not, just because he's been in Bellator his whole career. He's one of Bellator's bigger stars. I mean, just look at his last few fights. He's beat... So we got knocked out by Michael Chandler, no shame in that. Knocked out Josh Thompson, made that look easy. Beat Benson Henderson in a terrible fight that was not fun to watch.
It was not good.
Derek Campos has never been the same.
Yeah, like Derek Campos, I mean, That was an insane knockout.
It was.
And then the tough Roger, to watch. The Rod, tough to watch. Roger Huerta, that definitely was tough to watch when he beat his nose in his face.
Like, that was somewhat competitive because Huerta kind of showed up, but
he did.
He did. And then Patricky Pitbull hit him with like a left overhand that put him back to the fence, and then a right uppercut that just flattened his nose in.
And if you see some highlights, like you'll see some highlights on Eddie Alvarez's highlight reel and Michael Chandler's highlight reel against Patricky, and you think like if you take highlight reel seriously, you're gonna think, oh man, Patricky Pitbull sucks. No. Watch Patricky's highlight reel.
He puts people to sleep.
He puts people to sleep. His brother's a world champ. He could be a world champ on any given day. I mean, if he wins this fight, his standing 155, it's kind of muddy because there's a lot of contenders there.
He would be like a top 5 to, he'd be like a top 7 to 15 guy in the UFC, though, and I don't think that's unfair to say.
I think that's totally fair. And with that, that's going to basically wrap us up.
Kind of short show.
We wanted to keep it short. So, a reminder, you can find us on sportsbooth.tv. All you have to do, follow along. It's real-time interaction with us while we do the fight companions. We're going to have two of them. So, on Sports Booth, all you have to do, Fight Night Picks on there. You can find us. We're going to start at 5 p.m. Eastern for Bellator. We're going to start, it's 10 p.m. Eastern for UFC. So we got a bit of a two-hour break for ourselves. Yep.
And we tend to look at the questions and comments in Sports Booth a little bit more than UFC. So make sure that if you do have anything that you want to tell us or let us know, try to do it on Sports Booth just so we can get to it a lot quicker.
And yeah, you're going to be able to find us on YouTube. We're there as well. It's more now, and it is, and you're probably watching this on YouTube. Now for us with the live companion, it's more of a gateway to find us on Sports Booth. The link's in the description, and that's just simply because it's near real time. Like, it's half a second difference from us talking and watching the TV and talking with you and answering the questions. It's so much easier. Like, I didn't think it was going to be this easy. So it's legit a lot easier. So if you can follow us there, you can also follow us on YouTube, but you're just going to have to pause your TV. And there's going to have to be a 10-second delay. I mean, I've got it on ultra low latency. That's the very best for near real time. And with YouTube, you just can't get that. So you can follow us there. Really looking forward to it. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Craig Allen FMP. Matt, where can they find you?
You can also find me on Twitter. I'm also on Snapchat, but we won't bring that up. Where else am I?
Grindr?
I'm in Fredericton, Nova. That's about it. We'll end on that note.
Yeah, so really looking forward to the live companions. Bellator Newcastle, you can find it on the Bellator app and the Bellator website, UFC 234 pay-per-view. You can also find it. I'll have links in the description. You can find us on Sports Booth and YouTube. And really looking forward to a big weekend in combat sports.